Good morning, brothers and sisters. How are you? Alan, thank you. That was marvelous. Appreciate that very, very much. And it's nice to be with you today. The last 3 years, I have been serving on the Board of Ordained Ministry, where Charles also served. And he and I got to know each other a little bit better, enough for me to know you have been in good hands for quite a while, and you have been blessed. Dana Everhart has been a friend of mine for over 20 years. I've known him for a long time. And he and I have been in each other's homes. We have shared ministry together in a variety of ways. He has a piece of my woodworking in his office already this morning. And so I can tell you that their personalities are very different, but you are still in good hands. And I hope that you look forward to this time of transition and that it all goes smoothly and well for you and you continue to be in ministry in this place. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word from Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 35. Hear now the word of the Lord. And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with him in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the gift of life. We thank you for your incredible gift of love to us embodied in Jesus the Christ. We're grateful for your word for us. And we pray today that in these moments together, that beyond the words our ears might perceive, we hear you speaking to us, to our heart, our need, our spirit. Give us courage to hear and then courage to live that word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In October of 2018, my wife and I had bought our retirement home. I was still working active ministry at the time. We'd taken a few days off to go to the house to kind of get it ready. It had been unoccupied for about 9 months, and the yard was a mess. The inside was a little bit of a fixer-upper, so it was going to take some sweat equity. And on that morning, my wife was going to go out, and she was going to do a little shopping to find some things for the house. And I'd set a goal to cut down 4 crepe myrtles that had just gone totally berserk and wild and just were way too big for the space, and to empty 2 trash cans. That was the goal for the morning. I remember getting out the chainsaw. I remember cutting down the first crepe myrtle, cutting it up, hauling the brush off, and quite honestly, I don't remember anything after that. But apparently, I cut down 3 more crepe myrtles with a chainsaw and hauled off the brush and emptied the trash cans. But I didn't remember doing any of it. I knew something was off. And I sat down in the garage and I called my wife and I said, "You've got to come home and you've got to come home now. I don't know what's going on, but something's wrong." She came home shortly thereafter, and she said, "What's up?" I said, "I don't remember anything. I don't know what's going on." She put me in the car. She took me down to the emergency room at Emory. And quite honestly, I remember just one snippet of being on the road down there, but I don't remember walking into the ER. I don't remember the 3.5 hours I was there. I don't remember any of the tests that they did on me. I don't remember any of it. Nothing. And then suddenly, it was like I woke up, and sitting beside me was my son. And I said, "Phil, what are you doing here?" He said, "I've been here for 2 hours with you." And I looked at the foot of bed. There was my daughter. There was my wife. And I said, "Where am I?" And they told me. The doctor came in and he said, "You have what is called global transient amnesia." He said, "The odds of you getting this are less than being struck by lightning. It's totally rare. And the odds of you ever having this again are even rarer." He said, "And the other good news is that it shouldn't lead to anything else. It's not an indicator of something to come in the future." And I sat there thinking, what happened? What time is it? Oh my gosh, what happened to the day? What has been going on? And the family was starting to try to fill me in. I can't tell you how unsettling that feeling was, to miss part of the day and have no clue what happened. The next day, I spent most of the day trying to remember. I worked at it so hard to fill in the gaps, I gave myself a headache. And that's when I decided it wasn't worth that, to piece it all together. But I was still left with that feeling. The doctor said it would never happen again. But what if it does? And he said it was not an indicator of what might come in the future. But what if it is? What's in store for me? There are all kinds of storms that come upon us. Sometimes we see them boiling in the distance and we know they're on the way. We have a heads up. And sometimes they just hit us and they knock us off our feet. Some of them are physical storms that come and destroy our homes by hurricane or tornado or fire or flood. And it devastates us. Everything we've worked for, everything that we have found comfort in, everything we have cherished is right there and now gone or destroyed. Sometimes it's not anything physical at all. Sometimes it's the breakup of a marriage. Or it's a division within the family. Or friends that we've had forever and ever, and now there is a division and it just rips us apart. Sometimes it's that which comes upon us and strikes our health. Sometimes we lose a job. We lose our confidence. There are all kinds of storms that come upon us. All of us have experienced that, which is why this gospel story and Mark's gospel resonates with us, because we have been in the storm at different times. In fact, the great painter Rembrandt painted this scene of the storm at sea with the boat. And if you've ever really looked at that picture and counted the figures in the boat, you will find there are 14 people in the boat. There are 12 disciples, there is Jesus, and then Rembrandt painted himself right in the middle of the boat, as if to say, "I know what it's like. I've been in the storms of life." I'd like to just make a few observations about this story. And the first is that notice this is not the story of one disciple facing a storm in life. That the disciples were together. It was a shared experience. Even though some of them were sailors and fishermen, they had spent their lives in boats. They had been through storms before. And others, this was new for them. One was a tax collector. He had not been out on the sea very much at all. But this particular storm they shared together and its experience. The early church used the symbol of a boat as a symbol for the church because we have a shared experience. We're all in this boat together. We have the experience of the grace and the mercy of Christ upon us, the forgiveness of our sins. We have this joy in Christ, this life in Christ, this hope in Christ, this assurance in Christ. It's what we share together. But sometimes what happens in the life of the church is that one of us faces a storm in life. And maybe they're embarrassed, or maybe they're just kind of private in nature and they withdraw from the fellowship. They don't tell anybody about the storm. Or the church doesn't seem to recognize or to notice that somebody has slipped through the cracks, is no longer here, that they faced a storm. This morning, let us resolve to be the church of Jesus Christ. Let us resolve not to be so proud that we would not accept the emotional, the loving, the physical support of those around us, of our brothers and sisters in the life of the church. Let us not face the storms of life alone. And also, let us not be so wrapped up in ourselves that we fail to see one of our fellow sailors floundering and reach out and care for them. When I was a teenager, it was the summer before my senior year of high school. I spent 6 weeks of my summer in the hospital. And during that 6 weeks, my girlfriend came to see me once. That is not the young lady I married. During that 6 weeks, my friends who I'd spent weekends with, under cars with, out on the town together, at the hangouts together, didn't come to see me at all. There was one person who came 4 times during that 6 weeks. It was a man I didn't know his name. I don't know his name today. I'm sure he told me the first time he came to visit me. But when he came in, I recognized him. He was an older gentleman. I was a teenager. He was one of the ushers at the church. And probably every other Sunday, he was the one who gave me my bulletin. And the extent of our conversation to that moment had been, good morning, thank you. That's probably it for the whole conversation, for our entire time together. But he heard that I was in the hospital. And it dawned on him, what must it be like to be a teenager in the hospital alone during the summer? And he came to see me. We discovered pretty quickly we had very little in common. And most of our conversations were honestly awkward. But I look forward to him coming, and I cherish that he came. I grew up in the church. My father was a Methodist minister. I was literally born in the parsonage. So I knew what the church was. I knew the inside, the outside, the backside of the church. But when I really saw the church was that summer in the hospital when a man I didn't know and can't remember his name came to see me. He was the church. He saw somebody floundering, and he cared, and he came. That's the church. Let us resolve to be the church. We're in the boat together. It is a great comfort for us to also recognize that in the boat, there is also someone else who is rather important, and it is Jesus. We affirm Sunday in and Sunday out that we believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us, for comfort, for guidance, and for strength. This story is a story about who Jesus is and the power of Jesus. It's in a series of stories that talks about how Jesus had the power to deal with demons, how to deal with illness, how to deal with death, and now the wind and the sea. And yet, where is Jesus in this story? Do you remember? He's in the stern. He's in the back of the boat, in the stern. Now, this is a boat, a sailboat. If you've ever sailed a boat, a small boat, if you've ever seen a picture of somebody sailing a boat, you will know where they sit. They sit in the stern, in the back. That's where the tiller is, that's where the rudder is, that's where the main sheets or the ropes that go to the sails so you can trim the sails so that it catches the wind. That's where you control things. So now imagine this scene. Jesus is curled up in the stern, and the disciples are working around him in the storm, when he is the one who has the power to change everything. They haven't given him any control at all, which is pretty typical of us, isn't it? That oftentimes when things really get tough, we find ourselves trying to work around Jesus instead of giving him the controls, letting him be God to us. We find comfort knowing that he is with us, but he's the power that can change things. When I was 8 years old, my father and I went out fishing. At that time, we lived in southern New Jersey. Yes, yes, I wasn't born here. But where we lived was just about a mile and a half from the shore, from the Delaware Bay, actually. Dad had gotten this used little boat. It was about a 12, 14-foot wooden boat. He'd found this little used outboard motor he put on the back of it, and it actually also had oar locks and oars with it. And so we'd gone out into the bay, about a mile and a half into the bay, fishing. And it'd been a good time. We'd enjoyed being with each other. The fish were biting, and all of a sudden a storm came up. I mean, it got dark quickly. And we stowed our gear. Dad turned around, he started to pull on the motor to get the motor started, and that little motor just wouldn't start. And the wind started to pick up, it started to rain, he pulled, and that motor just wasn't going to start. So we switched places. I went to the stern, he went to the middle, he put the oars in the oar locks, he turned the boat around and he started rowing. And it started raining even harder. The waves started coming up, and just like the story in Mark, the waves started splashing over the sides of the boat. I took the bait bucket, emptied it out, and started bailing. And I don't mind telling you, for an 8-year-old, I was terrified. It was dark, lightning was crackling all around, it was pouring down rain, and we seemed to be a long way from shore. I'm sure my father said something to me, but there was only one thing that I found comfort that kind of calmed my heart, and that was when I stopped looking at the water in the bottom of the boat, when I stopped looking at the waves crashing over the side of the boat, when all I looked at was Dad's arms pulling at the oars. Now, I don't have to tell you what happened. I'm standing here today, okay? We got back safe and sound. But I will never forget those moments of just finding calm staring at the arms of my father taking us home. And so that's my advice to you today. When the storms of life rage, keep your eyes on the Father and let his strong arms take you home. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the many ways you have brought us through the storms of the past in our lives. We are mindful that during the time of the storm, we were at odds and out of sorts, and sometimes we lacked faith. And yet, in hindsight, we learned something valuable about life, something valuable about faith, something valuable about you. Help us in those times to look to you, and may we look to you always, in every day, in every situation. Help us to rely upon those in the boat with us to find strength. Help us to be one of those persons that provides comfort and assurance and help to those in trouble and facing the storms. Help us to be the church of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.